Would you turn with me in Matthew 7, 24 through 29, a short passage ending Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verses 24 and following say this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man, like a wise woman who built their house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, a foolish woman who built their house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against this house, that house, and it fell with a great crash." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. We thank you that we can assemble freely and without fear of the authorities, as so many of our brothers and sisters experience each and every week. Lord, we ask, as we always ask, that you'd give us spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear. Everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through your word, help us, Lord Jesus, to obey you and to build our houses, to build our lives and families on the rock, which is Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise. In your name we pray, saying, amen. Well, I was thinking about it. Hard to believe it's been a little over 10 years. Back in 2013, I was looking to purchase a home for my family here in the Bitterroot Valley. I had no idea how many issues there were to consider or how passionate people are about their opinions around here about the best places to live. New to me, like a lot of things. It seemed like every choice came with a positive or a negative. If I chose the mountains, I'd have to be prepared for fire season. I'm like, I'm from the Midwest. I mean, we do tornadoes. Like mountains catch on fire? Ooh, I'm not sure I want to do that one. Wow. If I chose the west side, you get to bake in the summer. It's like, boy, those are some pretty big awnings. Well, there's a good reason for that, right? If I chose the east side, I had to be prepared for poor water pressure. And if I chose to be near the river, I had to be prepared for the floodplain. Floods, I thought. You mean I could find my property floating down basically the Bitterroot River? And people said, could happen. Huh. And so when I first came to the Valley in March 2013, I was actually commuting from the Chicago area, stayed with some people near the mountains, in the mountains in Victor. Much to my surprise, this was a different world. Every morning that I went to work, I had to be careful driving because the water was flowing down the road. I'm like, where am I that water flows down the pavement? Well, I was on a mountain. I learned really quickly that the Bitterroot Valley has a long and sometimes frightening history of flooding. And so I decided I didn't want to repeat the old story of the flood in Noah's Ark. So I opted out of the fires and the flooding. And so I bought a place on a bench where I could grow my tomatoes and onions in relative peace. That was my thinking. Now, Montana, like Montana, Colorado, where our youngest son lives, Josh lives, beautiful state, also known for the Rocky Mountains, but it's also its heavy annual snowfall. I discovered that Colorado's sort of worst natural disaster in history was not an avalanche, but it came from rain. So, fun fact, July 31st, 1976, the resort town Estes Park, neat area with a park going on into the Rocky Mountains there. The Big Thompson flood occurred, devastating the area at that time. And when the flood finally receded, the death toll was 144 lives and hundreds of livestock drownings at that time. Now, following the event, I discovered a number of significant disaster studies were undertaken in the area, particularly in regards to the foundations of the local roads and highways. And this is what was discovered by the researchers. The roads that withstood the floodwaters, they were filled with concrete. Or another way of putting it, they had sure and strong foundations. Right? So this shouldn't come as any big surprise. I mean, people have been dealing with floods since time immemorial, but I was surprised to discover that the Bible actually mentions this idea of flooding over 60 times. It's in there. in its pages. And the floods begin in the book of Genesis, and they end in the book of Revelation. And so flooding is one of the subjects of one of Jesus' most picturesque of all his parables. It's the parable that ends the great Sermon on the Mount. And it's if it's been a while since you read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, do so. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right? In many ways, the Sermon on the Mount encapsulates Jesus' ethical and moral teachings to a T. You also find this, that Jesus loved to teach in parables. Remember this, a parable is a picture story. It takes something from everyday life, something common that people hardly think about anymore, and it uses that to illustrate a deeper and an unknown spiritual truth. And so Jesus decided to end his powerful Sermon on the Mount with a picture story that would emphasize the importance of not only hearing his words, but putting them into practice as the foundation of our lives as his followers. Now, there's another parallel story in Luke, right? Luke 6:46, where this is added. Right? Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you do not do as I say?" So Jesus makes it clear to us this morning that if he is to be the Lord of our lives, as his followers, we must hear and do what he says. Because here's the deal. The question isn't if floods will come into our lives as Christians. The question is, when will they come? And it's always helpful when you can see stuff coming. That's always preferable. But we don't always see what's coming around the bend, do we, so to speak? We must hear and obey Jesus. Now, Jesus, in his parable of the wise and foolish builders, reminds us that our lives need to be built on a strong foundation to withstand the storm waters, the floods of our lives. And the Bible, we've said this before, offers none of this so-called health and wealth gospel that's popular among some televangelists. Jesus says this in John 16:33 in his farewell discourse. He said, "In this world you will have trouble." It's not you might have trouble or if you have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. It's a fallen world. But take courage and be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world, Jesus said. It's not enough to hear Jesus' words. They have to be practiced. They have to be lived out. Obeying Jesus is like this. It is like pouring concrete into your life. It will stabilize your life like no other. It prepares us for the inevitable storms of life. Here's the deal. You don't prepare for the storms of life, right, when the storms hit. You prepare for those during the easy going, the placid, the carefree days that precede them, right? Montana ranchers might say something like this. You make hay when the what? Sun shines. That's right. You do not prepare for battle and certainly war during that time. You do it beforehand. Or as one of my favorites, Lord Baden-Powell, there he is, the British founder of the Boy Scouts, he used to say, be prepared. Be prepared. When he was asked, what should I be prepared for? He said, oh, any old thing. Any old thing. I like that. That way, when the floods of life begin to rise in your life, you can withstand them because you have heeded Jesus' words. You have been well built over time, because if you don't, if you ignore Jesus' words in 2024, you will be foolishly leaving your life vulnerable to collapse and destruction. Kind of like the time. When a massive flood began inundating a small town on the Mississippi River, and people began to scream and cry, start running for their lives, find safe haven, that tells you that they probably haven't prepared, right? Well, an old lady decided just to climb the stairs and go to the second floor of her home. And as the water continued to rise, a boat came by to her house. And the men yelled, ma'am, come aboard, ma'am. We'll take you to safety. And the old lady calmly responded, no, thank you. God will save me. And so the men shrugged and moved on to save other people, and the water continued to rise. This time, the older lady decided to move onto the roof of her house. And then another boat approached her house, and the men cried to her, come aboard, ma'am, we'll take you to safety. Again, the woman calmly replied, no, thank you. God will save me. The men simply shook their head and moved on. The water, however, continued to rise, and so she decided to climb up and sit on top of her chimney. And a third boat approached her, and the men aboard yelled, "Come aboard, ma'am. We'll take you to safety." And the woman calmly responded, yet again with, "No, thank you. God will save me." Men couldn't believe their ears, but they had to leave in order to continue looking for survivors. And so the water continued to rise, and now that there was nowhere left to go, the old woman drowned. Soon she found herself at the pearly gates where she met St. Peter, and oh, she was mad, and she angrily shouted at him, saying, "Why didn't God save me from the flood?" To which St. Peter replied, "For crying out loud, woman, God sent you three boats." Pay attention, especially in times of flooding. Now, about 5 years ago, our oldest son, Zach, moved to Puerto Rico. And one of his self-identified, yeah, there it is. That sounds pretty good after negative 38. You catch that one. One of the reasons he cited was this. He had enough of Midwestern and Western winters. Pretty hard to argue with that. But like any place, it has its ups and downs as well. For example, in conversation with Zach, I said, "You know, we've been in the negatives, and Montana just had its second to lowest temperature, negative 38. But I told everybody in the valley is so excited. We're supposed to get up into the 40s. Yeah. Woo! And he said, "I'm sorry, Dad. Right now it's sunny, 80 degrees. There's a light ocean breeze that's causing the palm trees to gently sway back and forth." And I'm like, "I hate you." But unlike Montana, they do have hurricanes, tropical storms, and tsunamis. So I was very pleased to hear that my son had a solid and wise plan. He said this, "Dad, I want to be as close to the ocean as possible, but beyond the floodplain. I want to be high enough as to be beyond the reach of a tsunami or torrential flooding." I was happy to hear that because evidently, many people do not take those factors into consideration when they choose to build a home. It is true. I've been to Puerto Rico, so I'm like, why is that house so close to the beach and the sand? They will get in trouble. Or why do they moor their boats in the ocean and not in a cove? Because when those tropical storms come, it's going to be a problem. Here's the deal. Being oblivious to Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7 happens all the time, though some groups tend to ignore Jesus' clear instructions more than others, don't they? Kind of like the time. When a group of Washington, D.C. politicians decided to go for a cruise on the Potomac River, it was a foolish thing to do, since the river was at its flood stage, and it's a big river if you've seen it. But the politicians, they didn't care, and they charged it to American taxpayers anyway. A young photojournalist working for the Washington Post was on a larger, more seaworthy boat, trying to shoot career-making photos in the midst of potential disaster, when he saw one of the politicians fall into the water. The photojournalist was terrified when he realized that he had a monumental decision to make. He could save the life of a well-meaning politician, or he could take a Pulitzer Prize-winning photograph of the situation. Huh. It actually turned out to be a no-brainer for the photojournalist, but then he realized he had one more critical decision to make regarding this politician. Would he use high contrast color or choose the classic simplicity of black and white? The bottom line is that floods in our lives will cause us to seek higher ground. You don't need me to tell you how stormy the last few years have been in our lives. And now that we have survived, have you ever taken any time to assess what higher ground you have claimed, so to speak? Were you able to take higher ground in 2023? Did you do something like recapture the family dinner table? Did you simplify your life? Have you grown in faith, hope, and love in Jesus, who is your sure foundation? Now, remember, it wasn't that so long ago. Those who entered the COVID-19 storms of 2020, 2021, those who had poor foundations, who built their lives on the sandy values of this world, probably found their lives washed away in one way or another. I'm still seeing data coming through. Do you know how many churches closed in 2020, 2021? For a variety of reasons, I discovered my beloved church in Chicago closed down. There are other reasons why that happened, but are your moorings strong? Many people washed out in their faith and didn't return to Jesus during that time. How about you as a follower of Jesus? Did your foundation hold at that time? Now, one thing that I said early on to the leaders and that sort of thing, I said, this COVID-19 thing is going to show where people's cracks are in their foundations. That I promise you. And it was kind of strange to watch this unfold in all of our lives. Did we find ourselves needing to rebuild something in our lives or families in the last 3 or 4 years? Did you find yourself needing more flood insurance, so to speak, as you walk into this new year? What actions are you willing to take in order to ensure that your foundation holds during the inevitable storms and rising floods of 2024? Again, it's not a matter of if things will happen in life, it's a matter of when. What do you need to hear and do to put Jesus' words into practice in your life and your family this year? Now, while Mosaic Church is not large in size per se, that's not our goal. We want to be and are big in our vision, values, and missions. And I'm happy to say that this building that God gave us, remember that whole story, is being used every day of the week. This is not a Sunday-only sort of place. This is a ministry center. That's what I call it, even more than a church, really. There's all kinds of things that are going on here that could help you better practice the words of Jesus in this new year. We talked about that this past Sunday as well. You know, Monday mornings, we have a great men's prayer, Bible study, and fellowship time, and we take time. It's a hoot. Ladies' prayer meeting on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have a church prayer meeting. Thursday, we have exercise and life group, and we're doing Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's been a hoot. Friday, we've opened up to the Ministry on Main group. Remember those folk over here?
Yeah.
And they lost their place there. And so we said, come on in, meet here on Friday nights, continue that work of the Lord. Saturday, the worship team meets here, and there's lots of other stuff going on throughout the week. But of course, Sunday is obvious, adult ed, worship service, children's church. And we have an AA group that meets on Sunday evenings, which I'm glad to have. Right? Also, you know, if it's helpful, we do these live streams and that kind of stuff. That's all available. Maybe that'd be a good thing to do while you're washing dishes or something like that. Hear the service, sing the music, listen to the message. Again, all that's there for you. So beyond the events of each week, there's all kinds of amazing events and outreach ministries that happen throughout the year. I was so glad to hear from Jody that the ministry meals program was beginning again. That's awesome. So glad to hear that. So let me ask you a closing question. When was the last time that you did some foundational assessment of your life? Can you say like King David in Psalm 62, truly my soul finds rest in my God, my salvation comes from him, truly he is my rock and my salvation, he's my fortress, therefore I will never be shaken. Will you allow Jesus to help and fortify the weak areas of your spiritual foundation so that you may stand strong and firm by his power when these floods come into your life, even in 2024? Or will you choose to remain spiritually indigent and ignore the words of Jesus that alone can bring both warning and life? Because sometimes we just don't pay attention or want to hear, kind of like the time when an old English gentleman was sitting in his private study, and then suddenly and very uncharacteristically, his butler crashed through the door screaming, "Sir, the river is flooding and water is everywhere." Annoyed by his lack of decorum, The English lord replied, "James, this is most irregular. Please leave and come back with the dignity that is inherent to an English gentleman." And so the butler bowed himself out, came back saying, "Sir, flash flood, the river's..." The lord interrupted him again and once again said, "James, please compose yourself and deliver the message with calmness and dignity. Out you go." James, the butler, stepped outside once again, returned 5 minutes later, and opening the door and calmly stated this, "Sir, it is my honor and pleasure to introduce you to the River Thames." 2024 is before all of us, right? The opportunities are before you, but it's my prayer as your friend and pastor that you will intentionally choose to let Jesus be your sure foundation in your life, that you will build your rock, or build your life on the rock of ages, right? That song. You'll be able to stand strong and courageous when the storms of life hit and when the floods come and they rise in your life in 2024. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the rock that is Jesus. Lord, and in this new year, we want to build on that rock. We don't want to foolishly lay our moorings, our foundations on the sand as the world does. Lord, that means, yes, we're going to have to do some hard work. Yes, we're going to have to be thoughtful. Yes, we're going to have to do sometimes the hard thing. But that's what you call us to. And so we just thank you for the provision that is in Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we would not only hear but obey his words and thus build on that sure foundation. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this new year. We thank you for this fellowship. And most of all, we thank you for your love. And we pray all this and more in Jesus' name, saying, amen.